Feito por Elas, o podcast que discute o protagonismo das mulheres no audiovisual.
Olá, eu sou Isabel Wittmann e antes do programa começar, eu gostaria de agradecer às nossas madrinhas Carolina Roncone, Letícia Santinon, Lorena Luz, Isadora Oliveira Prata, Elga Dornelas e os nossos madrinhos Thiago Maia e Pedro Dalbó. Esse programa ele faz parte da nossa cobertura da 47ª Mostra Internacional de Cinema de São Paulo, e essa cobertura só é possível graças ao apoio do nosso financiamento coletivo, né? Então, se você está ouvindo esse podcast, se está acompanhando as nossas entrevistas, se está lendo as nossas críticas, considere enviar uma gorjetinha para o nosso Pix, que é o nosso e-mail contato@feitoporelas.com.br, ou assinar o nosso financiamento coletivo na Orelo, né, na plataforma Orelo, pelo site orelo.cc/feitoporelas. E nesse programa de agora, o que vocês vão ouvir é uma entrevista com a cineasta finlandesa Hanna Vestinsalo, se eu estou pronunciando corretamente. A Hanna, ela é a diretora e roteirista do filme Palimpsesto, que já tem crítica lá no site, que é uma ficção científica sobre dois idosos, um homem e uma mulher de 80 anos, Juhani e Telu, que são escolhidos para participar de um projeto em que eles vão rejuvenescendo gradativamente. E a diretora, então, ela acompanha esse processo e todas as questões que vão sendo levantadas conforme eles vão se tornando mais jovens novamente. É um filme super interessante, é um dos filmes que mais me surpreenderam, um dos filmes que eu mais gostei na mostra desse ano. Então, eu espero que vocês também gostem da entrevista que foi realizada com a Hanna, eu achei muito interessante. Já peço desculpas por antecipação pelo meu inglês, porque realmente a gente só percebe quanto tá enferrujado quando precisa, né? Tirar as cartas da manga. Infelizmente, pelo formato de podcast, eu tô publicando essa entrevista na íntegra da forma como ela foi realizada. Em virtude também da correria de cobertura de festival, não houve tempo hábil para que eu fizesse uma tradução e editasse por cima, enfim, com os áudios em português, fazer um negócio meio Discovery Channel. Então eu tô postando o áudio em inglês e lá no site, na postagem da entrevista, a gente tem a transcrição completa dela traduzida já para quem quiser acompanhar ou quem quiser a opção de ler direto em português. Ah, e além disso, eu tive um pequeno problema no Google Meet que eu não consegui gravar essa entrevista, então eu gravei, na verdade, o áudio pela caixa de som do meu computador enquanto ela estava sendo realizada. Então eu também já peço desculpas pela qualidade do áudio, que dessa vez está bem longe do ideal, mas eu acho que é melhor a gente ter alguma entrevista do que nenhuma entrevista, né? Então vamos conferir aqui a entrevista com Hanna Vestinsalo.
First of all, I would like to say that I really loved your movie. I'm a fellow sci-fi lover, and I watched your TEDx talk, and it was really interesting, especially when you talked about Jurassic Park. The movie and the book, I also loved them when I was a kid. I also watched all of X-Files at the time it was released. So starting from the beginning, tell our public, the people will hear this podcast or read the interview, how you started researching molecular genetics and if you still work with it in parallel with your movie career and how you transitioned to your filmmaker career.
So my story does begin from Jurassic Park. I watched the film and I read the book when I was a kid, and kind of I fell so much in love with Jurassic Park, just the idea of the DNA, and that kind of caught me into studying genetics in the university. So in a way, already movies were in my life, and I've always been very passionate about films. But when I was doing I studied genetics and all the way to I did a PhD research about medical genetics. And I was doing this research during the daytime, and at some point after the work, we started to do horror films. There was this thing happening in the lab that let's just cut after an hour. They just cut and you have to kind of ignite them again. And sometimes somebody else did it for you, and you had no idea that there was another person in the same laboratory, and he tried to figure out where that person was, but there was just nobody to be seen. And we just made a silly, for fun horror film about that thing, and with my sister actually, and then my colleagues in the laboratory saw that film, and they were like, "Oh, we want to do a sequel. This is so much fun." So we did a sequel, and then we did a sequel and another sequel, and we just started doing these horror films, and they just got more and more elaborate and more, there was more plot and everything. And that's kind of how I fell in love with this idea that you can really influence people and you can tell stories. And I really fell in love with that. So after I did my PhD, I defended that, and I applied to film school, and I got into the directing program in Los Angeles in American Film Institute. And that's kind of how I went to film in a way. And I haven't done research since then. I'm still a little active in the DNA world, but not as doing research.
You had to choose one path. And was the movie Palimpsest inspired by some of your previous work and your knowledge in genetics?
Yes. Palimpsest is about, the plot is really about two elderly people getting recruited in this medical trial, and then they somehow realize that they start getting physically younger. So not only they are getting healthier, but they are just getting, like, a side effect is that they also get younger. And that research, I've been reading about it. I didn't do that research, but I've been kind of following it and how it's progressing, because it's really going on. And what I wanted to do with this film is take this concept that what if this treatment really works? Mm-hmm. What if it's really possible to do that? And what it would be like to be the first group of people, like the human test trials, who would do that, and suddenly, instead of it being some kind of horrible thing, you just get physically younger. But when you think about it, there's actually a lot of things that you would have to navigate through if you would be the first person in the world to just grow young, in your families, in your relationship, just the way you think, because we're so used to, you know, growing old and you know, dying. But what if you don't? It's like there's no path how to do that.
Yeah, and the actors are great, and I was thinking about the casting process, how it was made, because especially Tim Telu, I thought she was great, but was it hard to find the right actors for each age of the main characters?
Well, it was tricky. Like, first, of course, so there's two characters who play the Yuhani, and there's four, actually, who play Telo, the woman, and well, both of them, we had to pick one first, of course. You couldn't cast them simultaneously, because you had to pick one, and then somehow cast people who look alike and kind of have the similar kind of, they have the ability to kind of have the similar kind of presence. And then, so it was, I had an amazing casting director, Matt Minna was there, and we were like really going through, you know, a list of people. And we were so lucky, because everybody we contacted, they really wanted to be, they were like, "I've never done anything like that. I want to be part of this." And as a director, it was amazing, because these actors, they really trusted you they trusted you that everything is going to work out, because if you think about it, the fact that they are playing maybe a one piece in the middle or something, it's scary, but I was lucky, yeah.
I think your decision to not show how the renewing process works and just show the characters, the aging and the impact of this on their psyche is great. It's like a mix of hard sci-fi and soft sci-fi, where the real technology doesn't appear, and what matters is the human factor.
Yeah, I think it was very important to me, the fact that I was thinking, because we are so with them, like I wanted to be, that it's a very personal story for just for these two characters, their stories. We know what they know, we see what they see kind of about the world, and everything that is in their sphere mm-hmm. is not important in a way for the story. And that's why I just was like, they weren't as interested to, you know, what's going on inside of me. They were just more interested. What affected us was really physical, just what really was happening, were they getting healthy, were they getting, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And about the Dana Scully effect you talk about on your TEDx, and the gender issues you talk about in your movie, there's a moment Telu tells Yuhani that in the 60s women did not have the same rights they have today. And I remember one quote from Virginia Woolf: for most of history, Anonymous was a woman. And there's so much gendered, unpaid work in most societies. But when Telu ages, unlike Yuhani, she doesn't seek for study or knowledge or recognition, professional recognition. She seeks the fun and the experiences she probably didn't have when she was young. That's the way I perceive it. I kept thinking women like my grandmother, who hadn't had fun nor study, but she would choose today the access to knowledge if she could. And yeah. Can you tell us what decisions guided you to write Telu's trajectory?
So, exactly how you said. What really was, when you think about somebody who, like when she starts, when we meet her, she's 80, and she was born and like on the birth, like right after World War II, or even like the last years of World War II, she would have had so much change in her life. But you know, what kind of exactly how you said is that she went through all these. As she grew up, she was a child in the 50s and 60s, she was a teenager, so she did go through a lot of change in her life, but in a way she was always, you know, kind of, shackled by her role as a woman and, mm-hmm. and where she was in society, like she says in the film. So what I wanted to do with, actually that was one of the things that I wanted to do in the story, because it's a story about two people, Telu and Yuhani, and their story in a way that one of them, what they both seek different things when they finally get younger. The one kind of like wants to go for the dream that he always had but didn't have the opportunity to go for, because of the time that he was young, it wasn't possible. And then she kind of wants to have this freedom that people who are now 20 have. And it's kind of, for me, it was always, it's a very unusual love story, but for me, it is a love story between these two people kind of supporting each other, but and while they have, you know, go in their separate paths and, you know, kind of how the paths cross, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. One thing that especially shines to me, it's how sensorial the movie is. How you use the sound and the bright lights and the hearing aid, Telu's rear hearing aid, and Yuhani's POV. I don't know, I think it's, you can feel the feeling of the characters. It's amazing. I think you have a very precise and a very sharp use of language, visual language, crafting these images. Especially, I believe the movie had a tight budget.
Yes.
and I want to ask you, what guided your stylistic decisions?
So, well, first, I have to though say, like, I have such an amazing team, my producers and my DP, cinematographer and production designer and everybody, and editor. I mean, everybody in the team, they were like, just amazing, and we had only 150,000 euros to do this film, because we were and we have had very limited time, of course, because of that we had very limited also time and everything, but everybody was just doing with so much and gave so much to this film. And I think it was a, like I talked a lot with my Henry Dewey, my cinematographer. We were talking a lot about the visual language, and what I love hearing that we got the feeling across what we wanted to do, which was the fact that you're, especially in the beginning, you're kind of in the bubble of Johannes' POV. Mm-hmm. We only see, and he's kind of treated because he's. When we meet him, he's elderly and he's in one of those kind of institutions, and he's kind of treated a little bit more like an object rather than a subject that has a film. And it's really nice that that comes across, that in a way, like when he gets younger, he also regains his independence again. But it was one of those things that, like when we were doing those scenes where we had a really bold, just a POV choice through the scenes, and I remember I was in one of the scenes we shot it, and then we were just afterwards like, okay, that's it, moving on, and I remember people asking, wait, that's it?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking while I watched it about the notion of prosthetic memory. I don't know if you are familiar. It was written by Alison Lansberg in a paper in 95, and she explores the notion of memory and identity. She explains that our memories validate our experiences and not the opposite. So if you can remember something, that actually creates a meaning that helps to create a sense of me. And then as the characters grow younger, they are still themselves because they can remember all the years they lived before. But Telo's decision to be a baby again, as a small spoiler for people who are listening, it's like a leap of faith. If she cannot remember, is she the same person? She doesn't have these memories to validate herself. How you decide to write such a bold choice to the character?
But Telo for me, it was. Yeah, she has a very, her story is very, well, it's kind of happy or sad, depending how you want to look at it. Actually, the 11-year-old who plays Telma at one point, she came to the audition and she asked me, like, before we start, can I ask something, like, is the ending happy or sad? And it was really kind of like, for me, when, you know, she had just read the script and it really is how you decide whether the ending is happy or sad mm-hmm. for yourself. Because I think Telo, she's very, she personifies this thing, exactly what you're talking about, that we are made by our memories. Of course, it's easy to think that traumatic memories, kind of like she has a traumatic memory and she realizes that no matter how much younger she gets, she can never kind of get away from that memory because it's imprinted on her like 60 years ago or something, and she's still carrying it. Like everybody has some kind of traumatic memory in some way or another that we are just carrying within ourselves. And her choice in the end is to just do that leap of faith that, you know, I just, you know, it's her decision about how to deal with trauma, I think. And in a way, like, this film also, and her story is a lot about loneliness, in a way, like, you, even though you would have people around you, you're still kind of stuck with your own, especially memories, especially mm-hmm. the things, because even though other people would understand, they don't really understand your feelings, in a way.
I read you got a mentorship at the Venice Film Festival, and you also signed with Activist Artist Management, and I don't know if you can tell us, but what are your plans for your next project?
So, I have a couple of projects on the way. Let's see which one of them happens first, but I would love to actually explore this world, the world of palimpsest, even more in another format, maybe, because there was a lot of. You might, when you watch it, you might like see that there's or feel that there was a lot of backstory or the world building mm-hmm. around thing that we never got to see in the film. But I would also, there's one horror film that I have been working on, which would be it's about a female experience. About it has a little bit of similar theme, that it's a woman who kind of can buying herself time by doing something very unethical and against every single rule of society, but she takes that kind of power to herself. So in a way, the next movie is going to be about women again going through about this thing. Yeah.
Great. I'm eager to watch it. And I thank you for this interview. It was amazing. I really loved your movie. And
thank you so much.
I hope to see other works from you soon.
Let's hope so. Yeah, and I'm so happy that you enjoyed about the film. And I love talking about the film.
É isso, gente. Eu espero que vocês tenham gostado desse programa. Continuem conferindo a nossa cobertura aí conforme ela vai saindo no nosso site. Acompanha nas nossas redes sociais, no Twitter, no Instagram, enfim, no Letterboxd. Estou postando tanto no Feito por Elas quanto nas minhas redes pessoais. Vocês encontram lá toda a nossa cobertura da Mostra de Cinema de São Paulo. E qualquer comentário, pode deixar lá nas nossas redes ou mandar para o contato@feitoporelas.com.br. Até a próxima e tchau! A pesquisa, pauta, roteiro, apresentação, produção, arte da capa e edição desse podcast são de Isabel Wittmann. A vinheta de abertura é composta por Felipe Aires e a locução da vinheta é de Débora Garcia.